Last time we started talking about Hilchos Bracha Rishona, we mentioned that in order to get a hamotzi, in order to require a bracha of hamotzi, the food item has to be defined as lechem, or pas. But just because it's defined as lechem doesn't mean that it gets a hamotzi necessarily. We said there are different items that might be defined as pas, and yet they only get a mizonos unless you kaveh a suda on them. Why is that the case? Well, according to most Rishonim, if the item is created with baking, if there's aliyah involved in the process of creation of the item, it's defined as lechem. Maybe it will be chayev in hafreshas challah. So it's defined as lechem, even though it's not necessarily made with a blila ova, with a thick dough. It's only made with a blila raka, like sponge cake and the like. So something could be defined as lechem le'inyan challah, but yet when it comes to brachos, we might not say that it gets a hamotzi. Why? Because this is an item that we call pas haba bekistin. Pas haba bekistin is a technical term that the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Mem Beis uses for snack food. It's not eaten as a meal food normally, it's eaten as a snack food. So pas haba bekistin, the rule is, according to the Gemara in Brachos, it gets a hamotzi only if you kovei a suud on it, only if you eat enough that it's almost like a suuda. We'll have to define exactly how much that is. A kedei svia, let's say, if you're satisfied from it, then it will get hamotzi, but if not, then you'd only make a mizonos on it. What's an example of this? So the Shulchan Aruch has three examples. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rishonim and the Gaonim, who define pas haba bekistin in three ways. Some define it as a filled dough, like a cherry pie, an apple pie. Some define it as a sweetened dough, that's the Rambam, like a sponge cake, a honey cake, a chocolate cake. And some define it as a thin wafer, a cracker, some brittle kind of cracker, like a breadstick or a cracker or a pretzel or something like that. These are the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, as we went through last time. So what's the halacha? Is pas haba bekistin in one, two, or three? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef says it's a suffix. He thinks you could be mekel for all three. So what does that mean? Pasha pshat in the Beis Yosef is that he mamish holds it's a suffix. Sveka d'rabbanan l'kula. Berachas Hanenin is a mitzvah derabbanan. The Sveger derabbanan Lakula tells me that I could be makel to make a mizonos on any one of these three definitions. The Maimer Mordechai, we said, disagreed. He claims it's not really based on a suffix. It's based on the following: that pas haba bekistin is defined in every particular time because manu moko. It's not halacha l'mosh misinai that only three examples are pas haba bekistin. These are what the Rishonim were giving examples in their time. For things which are desserts, which are snack-type foods. So the rule is any snack-type food gets a mizonos, unless you kaveh a sudani. It's not a halacha psuka that these are the three definitions, al-pidin, that are pas haba bekistin, al-pidin, they're called snack foods. No, in any time and situation, b'chol zmanu, b'chol makom, whatever is defined as a snack food is called pas haba bekistin. Whatever is a meal food is defined as pas. Of course, it has to be lechem. You have to have all of the requirements, all of the criteria that we described last time to be defined as lechem. But even if it is lechem, if it is a snack food, it'll have a din of pas haba bekistin, and you won't make a hamotzi on it unless you kaveh a suud on it. And if it's defined as a meal food, if it's one of the definitions of pas haba bekistin that the Shulchan Aruch has, and nevertheless, in the particular time that you're in, it is a meal food, then you'll get a hamotzi on it. You'll have to make a hamotzi on it, even if it's pas haba bekistin according to those Rishonim. Because they're not defining pas haba bekistin for every generation. The Rishonim was simply saying that these were examples of snack foods in their time. And we mentioned that there are several nafkamina to these two approaches, whether it's a suffix, what pas haba bekistin is, or no, it's the general rule that b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, whatever is a snack food is pas haba bekistin, whatever is a meal food is pas gomri. We said the two nafkamina are basically, let's say something that's not included in the definitions, one of the three definitions of pas haba bekistin, but it's only eaten as a snack, like a soft pretzel. If you follow the Beis Yosef, so then it has to fall under the rubric of the three definitions, and soft pretzels are pas gomer according to that opinion, that it should require hamotzi. If you take the Maimon Mordechai's approach, so then since soft pretzels are simply a kinuach, they're simply a dessert, they're a snack, so then they would get a mizonos unless you kaveh a suud on it. Conversely, something like pizza, or maybe even matzah, which do conform to one of the definitions of pas haba bekistin. Pizza is the filled type of dough, and matzah is the brittle cracker. So if you take the Beis Yosef's approach, then maybe you should make a mizonos on it, unless you kaveh a suud on it. But if you take the Maimon Mordechai's approach, since pizza and matzah are things that people are normally kovei suda on, even though they fall into the rubric of pas b'kistin according to the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, they should still be defined as pas, because pas b'kistin in the Shulchan Aruch is not a halacha psuka for chol zman of the chol makom. Depends on every situation, and since v'zman hazeh, we normally eat matzah and pizza as part of a meal, but then the mamish pas gum. The mamish pas gum. Of course, the matzah crackers would be different, and since matzah crackers are eaten as a snack, maybe taka, they would be passed above a kistin, and you'd only make a hamotzi if you could be a sudan. And this is all that we discussed last time. There's another important nafkamina, important difference between the Maamar Mordechai's approach and the simple reading of the Beis Yosef, and that is this. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Samaches Sifches writes that pas above a kistin that's eaten during the meal, but shalom machmas hasuda, if it's eaten as a dessert, then you have to make a bar minim mezonos on it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's eaten besoch hasu'uda shalom achmas hasuda. That's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. It says it gets a bar minim mezonos, meaning it's a lower level of pas. So obviously we know one of the rules of a lower level pas that it gets a mezonos unless you kaveh hasuda on it. But the Shulchan Aruch adds that even if you're having bread in the meal, you made a hamotzi, you had bread in the meal, but now you eat pasta b'kistin and shalom achmas hasuda, like for dessert. It's not to fill you up, it's just l'kinuach b'yalma, to sweeten, you know, to give you a sweet taste at the end of the meal. So Shulchan Aruch says it gets a mezonos, because it's not included in the bracha of hamotzi of pas, because it's a different thing. It's a different item. Zot the Mishnah Bura, he thinks that this would be true only if the item is defined as pas b'kistin according to all three shittas. If it's defined as pas b'kistin according to all three shittas, so then it's going to get a mezonos because it's definitely not pas. But if it would be defined as pas b'kistin only according to some shittas, according to other shittas it's not pas b'kistin, so then you have to safek brachos lahakel, you couldn't make a mezonos on it because maybe it is defined as pas. Right? Maybe it's defined as real bread. If it's defined as real bread, then it is exempted by the hamotzi that you made at the beginning of the suda. Again, the Mishnah Berurah wants to suggest that the only pas b'kistin for which you'll have to make a bar minim mezonos at the end of the meal, if it's eaten shalom achmas hasuda, that's a pas b'kistin that falls under the rubric of all three definitions. Because then we know it's pas b'kistin and it's not pas gom. But if it's pas b'kistin only according to one of the shittas, so then it's a suffix. It might be pas b'kistin, it might be pas. So if it might be pas, then you can't make a brach on it. So brachos lahakel, because perhaps it's pas gum. So what's a nafkamina? Well, what's he talking about? So lechora, what the Mishnah Berurah means is that if you have something like apple pie falls under the definition of pas b'kistin according to all three shittas. Why? Well, first of all, it's a filled dough. Secondly, the dough is sweetened. It's not a plain dough. They have sweeteners in that dough. And thirdly, the dough itself is a little brittle. I know the inside sometimes gets sore, but on the outside, it's a little brittle. Like my kids say, you know, could I have the cracker? Like the outside, the pie crust is a little brittle. So apple pie falls under the rubric of pas b'kistin according to any of the definitions of Shulchan Aruch. So according to the statement of Shulchan Aruch in Sif Ches, that pas b'kistin that's eaten shalom achmas hasuda gets a mezonos, Chora, you'd have to make a mezonos on apple pie at the end of the meal. But let's say they serve you honey cake at the end of the meal, some kind of sponge cake. A sponge cake doesn't fall under the rubric of pas b'kistin according to all the shittas, only according to one, according to the Rambam. It's a sweetened dough, but it's certainly not brittle. And it's not a filled dough either. And it's filled with a lot of things, but not the dough, right? It's not that you made a dough and then filled it with other items, like apples and cherries and potatoes and meat and whatever. There are fillings, there are sweeteners in the dough itself. So that's possible b'kistin according to the Rambam, but not according to the other shittas. So according to the Maamar Mordechai, according to the Mishnah Berurah's statement, right, l'chora, you would not make a bracha on honey cake or on sponge cake at the end of the meal, because it's not possible b'kistin according to all three shittas. Now this seems strange. If you were to go with the Suffolk approach of the Beis Yosef, the Mishnah Berurah makes a lot of sense. We have a suffix whether pas b'kistin is A, B, or C. We don't know what the definition is. So this halach in Shulchan Aruch, that you make a bar minim mezonos on pas b'kistin, can only be said if it's pas b'kistin l'kulei alma. If it's l'kulei alma pas b'kistin, so we know it's not pas, so it has to get its own bracha. But if we take the Maamar Mordechai's approach, but there's no halach l'mosh m'sinai that these three definitions of pas b'kistin are the only definitions. It's all a function of what's a snack food, what's a meal food. So do you think anyone would say honey cake is a meal food? It's a snack food, right? It's dessert. It's not the meal. So if it's not the meal, what should come out is that it's possible to kiss. Then for sure, bizman hazeh, it's possible to kiss. And I don't care about the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch. Those three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch are lav dafka. They're only examples of snack food in the times of those Rishonim, according to the Maamar Mordechai. You take the Maamar Mordechai's approach, which should emerge that the sunny cake is a snack food. Bizman hazeh, it should be possible to kiss. Then for sure. So then you should have to make a mezonos on honey cake or sponge cake or any kind of cake that you have at the end of the meal, not just apple pie. Mishnah Berurah would say that you make a mezonos only on apple pie because it's possible because then l'kulei alma. According to the Maamar Mordechai, what should emerge is that anything which is a snack food l'kulei alma should get a mezonos at the end of the meal. So since honey cake is a snack food, even if it's not possible because then according to the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, only according to one definition, I don't care about those definitions. I care about what's a snack food nowadays. So since it's a snack, since honey cake is a snack food nowadays, it's not the meal, it should be defined as possible by the and it should get a mezonos. Rabbi Shechter, I think, makes a mezonos on sponge cake at the end of the meal. Based on this logic, Lishitasel, he holds that you should make a hamotzi even on a morsel of pizza, just like you make a hamotzi on a snack of bread, because he holds pizza is not possible by the it's a meal food. So conversely, he would say that honey cake, according to this halach and Shulchan Aruch, not only apple pie, like the Mishnah Berurah is saying, but even honey cake, anything that's a kinuach bi'alma should get a mezonos because it's passed by the kistin, bizman hazeh. Rabbi Willig disagrees. Rabbi Willig feels that we should follow the Mishnah Berurah, even though he agrees to Rabbi Shechter when it comes to the bracha on pizza. He says that you should make a hamotzi even on a morsel of pizza, against the minig, the popular minig, that you don't make a hamotzi unless you have more than two slices of pizza. Rabbi Willig feels that when it comes to this halacha, he thinks maybe the Shulchan Aruch, maybe the Shulchan Aruch can be applied to honey cake as well. Aye, but honey cake is definitely kinuach v'yama, it's possible to kiss in bizman hazeh. So he says that maybe there are one of two svaras that he gives, Rabbi Willig gives, to explain why you should not make a bracha even on honey cake. He says, first of all, sometimes what you think is coming for kinuach is really coming for mazon. It's coming to be masbia. You think it's only coming as a kinuach, as a sweetener at the end of the meal, it's just a dessert. The reality is, for some people, it's filling them up a little bit. You just have to come to my house on Shabbos. You know, the kids eat fish. I have one child who eats fish. And then he turns to me and he goes, Abba, can I have dessert? I say, but you haven't eaten the cholent. You haven't eaten anything else, but I had my fish. Like to him, he has a little bit. He's just yaitz design the suda, and then he can have the real suda. That's dessert. So to him, dessert is the meal. You know, I mean, it's a miracle he's growing. Baruch Hashem. So you know, lately he's gotten a little bit better. At least he eats a little bit more, very little. You know, but I mean, he eats a lot of dessert, but he doesn't eat a lot of what he should be eating. So, you know, kinuach sometimes comes as a mazon. Certainly, if you're not talking about a Shabbos meal, meal during the week, you know, you can have a sandwich, but you buy a big piece of cake. You haven't had the cholent and the fish and this. You're not soveya from the first part of the meal. It certainly filled you up significantly, but people often will buy dessert to fill themselves up a little bit more. So maybe we should suggest that since the dessert often is the mazon, maybe we should never make a bracha on the kinuach because of a suffic bracha. It's never quite clear that it's only kinuach. If it would only be kinuach, so then it's possible to kiss then. If it's a snack meal, a snack food, then you should get a mezonos. But since we never quite know, it's sometimes hard to tell. Sometimes a person himself can't even tell. You know, I mean, if he's having candy, he's having ice cream, ices or something like that, that's just the kinuach, clearly. But if you're having cake, you know, you have a gesunter piece of cake, so often people leave room for the dessert. You know, they'll sometimes ask in the middle of the meal, what's for dessert? Why do they care? It's only kinuach biyama. No, because they want to have room for that dessert, so they're relying on the fact that the dessert is filling them up. Rabbi Willig suggested that maybe if that's the case, so then it's really lemazon. It's not lekinuach. So then, maybe you shouldn't make a bar mezonos. Maybe that's the reason why the minig in many places is not to make a mezonos on honey cake. He says, what's more, there are other rishonim who do disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. There are other rishonim who claim that pasul bekisnin it doesn't get a bracha even if you eat it shalom achmas hasuda against the shulchan. Shulchan Aruch is assuming the pasuk of Bekistin, if you eat it not for the purpose of the meal, it should get a separate bracha. Not all Rishonim agree with that. Some Rishonim claim that pasuk of Bekistin is pas. So because it's pas, if you eat it during the meal, it'll be exempted with the hamotzi on the bread. So the Shulchan Aruch disagree. Rabbi Willick thought that based on one of these two svaras, either maybe we could rely on the other Rishonim, or maybe we should rely on the other Rishonim, that it's not so clear that just because the pasuk of Bekistin is eaten shalom achmas hasuda should get a bracha. That coupled with the fact that sometimes it's pashut very hard to tell what is kinuach and what is mazon, what are you eating to be masbiya, to satisfy yourselves, and what are you eating in order to just to put a sweetener in the mouth. So because of these two svaras, he wants to suggest against Rabbi Shechter's psak that maybe for honey cake one should not make a bracha. That the only thing that you should make a bracha on pasuk of Bekistin at the end of the meal, that's something that satisfies all the definitions. Right, only apple pie. Right, I guess according to Rabbi Willick's svara, maybe even apple pie you shouldn't make a bracha. Right, according to that logic, maybe even because it's only right. Maybe apple pie you shouldn't make a bracha because even if it's defined as pasuk of Bekistin according to everyone and it's not pas, but maybe you're eating it not for kinuach, maybe you're eating it for mazon. I guess that far he doesn't go. Rabbi Willick feels that apple pie definitely would not. Apple pie would definitely get a bracha at the end of the meal. Honey cake, he feels that honey cake should not get a bracha. Interesting. But that's the machlokas, right? Machlokas, Rabbi Willick, Rabbi Shechter, whether honey cake gets a bracha at the end of the meal. The Mishnah Berurah says that apple pie definitely would get a bracha because it's included within the definition of pasuk of Bekistin according to every sheet. Okay, let's move on. Questions? Gabriel.
More like a chocolate chip cookie.
A chocolate chip cookie might be viewed as a brittle cracker. Might be pasuk of Bekistin according to the last shita, but it wouldn't be pasuk of Bekistin according to the other shitas. So that would have the same halacha as the honey cake. Right? So I think most would say that you don't make a brach on it. The Mishnah Berurah would say you don't make a brach on it. Rabbi Shechter might say that you would make a brach on the cookies also, cakes and cookies. Rabbi Shechter would say for dessert you make a brach. Rabbi Willig would say no. He follows the Mishnah Berurah's stam ksak, that only for something that's defined as possible to kiss and according to all shitas, then you make a brach on it at the end of the meal. Yes?
Consider chocolate chips to be
ruined? No, I don't think so. They're just attached to the outside. Raisin challah is not called a filled dough either. You know, it's just attached to the outside a little bit. When we talk about a filled dough, we mean something that's really filled. Yes?
Fruit
would definitely get a bracha, sure. That's just a kinoach. That would definitely get a bracha. I'm talking about items that might be defined as pas. That's the problem. Right? If they're defined as pas, so the hamotzi that you made at the beginning of the meal will exempt those items. But fruit is not exempted by the hamotzi if it's eaten at the end of the meal. It's shalom achmas hasuda, avad. You should make a haitz on the fruit. So the Gemara had said, the Gemara in Brachas and Membei said that pasuk of Bekistin gets a hamotzi if you kovei asudon. What's the lashon of the Gemara? If you eat kashir she'acherim regilim lekvoa olav, you eat a shear that most people normally are kovei asuda on that amount of pasuk of Bekistin. What does that mean? What is a kovei asuda? So the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Kuf Samaches Kotan Chavdalin, he quotes a machlokas in the poskim about this. Some claim, well, first the Mishnah Berurah defines it as a shear of pasuk of Bekistin, that if you were to eat it, to eat an amount of pasuk of Bekistin, that will be enough for a full suda. So like, let's say there's sometimes a person comes back to his dorm room after a long day and he doesn't find any food in his fridge or in his cupboard, he only finds a big honey cake, and he says, okay, I'll have a little bit of cake. He takes one piece, and it's mamish good. It's his mother's honey cake from Shabbos. You know, so he takes a piece, and two pieces, and three pieces. Before he knows it, he's polished off the whole cake because he was starving. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if he eats a ton of cake, he eats a lot of cake, that the amount of cake that he ate, even though it's possible to kiss him, the amount of cake that he ate is really the amount people would be kovei asuda on. So then he has to bench. Now that's a problem because he started without even thinking what he was doing. So we'll talk about it later. But let's say lechatchila, he's going to eat this cake. He can't. There's nothing else he can eat. This is all he's going to eat. So he should wash and bench because he knows how much he's going to eat. Very strange circumstance. But how much is this? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes machlokas in the poskim. Some say it's defined technically. The halacha is that by Erev Tchumen. A person wants to walk more than 2,000 amas, so he puts an Erev, he puts food within the 2,000 amas, right at the end, so that he's able to walk another 2,000 amas. Right? Because that's his makom, that's koveh his makom. For that halacha, the rule is, the Gemara says, it's machlokes actually, whether a suda is gimel or dalet beitzim, three or four eggs. So someone to say that for Pasuk of a kisson as well, kviya suda is always defined as gimel or dalet beitzim. So it's a technical amount. So how much is that? So gimel beitzim, there are two kizesim in every beitza. So gimel beitzim is six kizesim. It's a pretty significant amount. Four beitzim would be even more, be eight kizesim. That's quite a lot. Right? Quite a lot. Right, if kizayis of matzah on the Seder night is, I don't know, half a hand shmur or two-thirds of a hand shmur or something like that. So gimel beitzim is going to be, you know, like four or five pieces of matzah, something like that. Four pieces of matzah is a lot. Sorry? It's a lot of honey cake, yeah. So that's what some suggest. But other poskim claim, no, it's not. Erev Tchumen is a different halacha. This is not defined in the same way. Here, Kviya Suda is a typical Sudas Boker, a Sudas Erev. Typical breakfast or supper. I don't know if I would say breakfast. Breakfast is normally a snack, bismanazer, but, you know, supper. A typical supper that people have. And it's dependent on every time and place. It's not nikva that you have to have six kizesim or eight kizesim. Dependent on every time and place, how much people actually eat. I think that's what most poskim assume, that it's a function of the sudos b'chol mokom u'b'chol zman. If a person taka eats enough honey cake that he feels full, it probably is enough. If he really feels full and he's not going to have supper after that, it probably is the same as the amount he eats for supper. But you can measure. You have a sense as to how much a plate's worth of food is. If a person eats that kind of amount of pasul b'kisson, then you have to make a hamotzi because he's koveh suda. The question is, what is included in this shir? If he eats pasul b'kisson, the kishir koveh suda, so then he'll make a hamotzi. But let's say he eats other things in addition to the pasul b'kisson. So it's clear that the other ingredients in the pasul b'kisson, besides the actual flour, the other ingredients definitely are baba cheshvan. They definitely are taken into account because that's the pasul b'kisson. That's the food items. We definitely take those items into account. So the question is, let's say a person eats pasul b'kisson and in addition to that, he'll eat other items. Like, let's say he's at a kiddush and he's going to have honey cake. He's going to have other types of cake. But he's also going to eat a little bit more or a lot more of other food items between the fish and the kugel and the cholent and the herring and the pasta and the fruit and the... Have I covered all the bases? He's going to eat a lot more besides the pasul b'kisson. So what's the halacha there? Do we take into account all the other items as well in terms of defining kviya suda or not? That's a big machlokes in the poskim. The Mogen Avraham there in Simen Kuf Samaches, I think it's Sifkot in Yud Gimel, Mogen Avraham is a famous chumrah. Mogen Avraham says you have to take into account everything. Meaning, if you have a kezias of pasul b'kisson, I mean, you got to have a kezias. You have less than a kezias, it's not significant. If you have a kezias of pasul b'kisson, and in addition to all the other items, taking into account everything, you're eating a kedei sviya, so then you'll have to bench, even though from the pasul b'kisson itself, you only had a kezias. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He says you only take into account the bread, the pasul b'kisson itself, not the other food items. How do we paskin? The Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Mogen Avraham. That's the big problem. Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Bagavan, he's machmer that we take into account everything. And the emphasis is this chumrah really makes a lot of sense. Because what does kviya suda mean? It means what a person normally eats as part of the meal. So people don't eat pasul b'kisson as their whole meal. They don't eat a whole honey cake. They don't eat a whole apple pie. They'll eat a little bit of pasul b'kisson with something else. They'll eat a little bit of bread with something else. That's the normal way that people eat meals. So to define kviya suda, it makes a lot of sense that we take the pasul b'kisson and then we combine that with the other food items as well. If you have a kedei sviya among the whole thing, so then that should be defined as a kviya suda. Why should we look at the pasul b'kisson exclusively? It makes sense that we should look at everything that you're eating together. Really, taka makes a lot of sense. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins as well. Wow, this is a big chumrah. I'll tell you why. Because what comes out is that, let's go back to pizza for a moment. Let's say someone wants to be making, follows the regular minhag. that until he eats more than two slices of pizza, he doesn't make a hamotzi and he doesn't wash and bench. He treats pizza as patzva bekistin, it's a snack food, and it only gets a mezonos unless you're kaveh suda. Okay, so you only have to make a mezonos on the pizza if you're eating two slices, but what happens if you're eating two slices with the fries? Eating two slices with the X, you can fill in the blank. If you're eating anything more than the two slices, if eating 2.5 pieces of pizza, we would say is a kaveh suda. So then two slices and any and just about anything else would also be called a kaveh suda, because it's not a din in pizza. It's not a din in eating 2.5 slices of pizza. It's that if you're eating pasta b'kisnin and something else that combined together would be a kaveh suda, then that's enough of a kaveh suda to require hamotzi, to require you to wash. So what should come out is that the only time, according to this Magen Avraham, the only time that you make a mezonos on pizza, if you eat only two slices, even if you want to be makel, like the minig, want to be makel that two slices or less only requires a mezonos. That's only if you eat two slices v'sulo midi, that's it. But if you eat anything else, even according to the minig, even according to the most makel shita, you'd still have to wash and bench, because that's called a kviyas suda. Yes, Matthew.
Is that
no. Similarly, if you'd be at a buffet or a kiddush, right, where you eat crackers with egg salad and tuna fish, eat cake with fish and cholent and kugel and all these other things, again, if you eat a kadesh sviya, bein hakol, even if it's not gimel or dalet beitzim, we don't follow that shita. We have to be machmir for the other shita, that the mainstream shita is that if you eat a shir kviya suda, a normal kviya suda, the raya that it's a normal kviya suda is that there's so many people who eat at a kiddush and then they come home and they have no room to eat anything. They've eaten their Shabbos meal already. It's a pella that most people will listen to kiddush, they'll make a mezonos and they'll eat to their heart's content. They will not wash and bench. That's why in some places they actually have challah rolls. They give you challah. If you want to wash and bench, you can do that. But many people don't do that. The Aruch HaShulchan is very troubled by this. He's Kori Tagar on this minik. This piece in the Aruch HaShulchan is Sif Yuches, Simen Kuf Samaches Sif Yuches. He's very troubled with this. He says, how could it be? People are eating at these Kiddushim, what they eat, I don't know if he says a Kiddush, but people eat and they don't realize that that there might be a problem of Kviya Suda, maybe they should have to wash and bench. So he tries to be Melamed Chus a little bit. He says maybe, he quotes a riff in Brochus that says that when you eat b'toras kisnin hechad ochala b'toras kisnin mevarich barim in mezonos, if you eat the item b'toras kisnin briska halocha b'toras kisnin, I'm eating the pasul of a kisnin b'toras kisnin, so then I only make a mezonos. Bos meintas. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that maybe it's not a function of shear alone, it's a function of how one is eating. Did you ever notice people eating at a kiddush? Some people eat with their talis on. Even if they don't eat with the talis on, they eat standing up. How many people sit down at a kiddush? There are some places, you know, in a chassidish of shtibul. In a shtibul, so then they sit down. It's part of the, you know, you sit at the Rebbe's tish, they come up and they wish mazel tov, and they get al chayim, they make al chayim. You know, so if there's a tish, so all bets are wrong. But if you're eating at a kiddush standing up, efshim ken zogin, maybe you can say that's eating b'taras kisnin. You're not eating a meal here. It doesn't matter how much you eat. Yeah. In the end, you'll come home and your wife is going to be annoyed at you that, you know, she worked very hard and, you know, the crack pot is giving her a lot of trouble and she prepared a challenge. You have no room to eat the challenge. It's not fair. So, okay, that's your own personal problem. But in terms of the brachas issue, it could be that if you're eating standing up, maybe that's not defined as a meal. So by definition, it's not defined as a meal. It doesn't matter how much you eat. It's not going to be called a kviya suda. So maybe Yitaka should only make a mezonos. It's a limud tzchus, but the pasha pshat is that you should be careful. You really should be careful. You should not eat too much. That could be kaveh suda, and then you're relying on the mezonos that you made on the cake. It's very questionable. It's possible with kisnin, and if you kaveh suda on everything together, then lechora there is room to say that maybe you really should wash. Hari.
So what if you don't eat cake,
cookie is also possible of a kiss, man.
No.
If you eat, let's say, pasta, that's not possible of a kiss. You can eat as much pasta as you want. Yeah. It's not a din of mezonos. It's that you're eating pasta of a kiss, then. Right? So if you eat the pasta, even though you made a mezonos on it, that's not a problem, even if you're kaveh sud on it. Right, but I guess he's cholek, but I gotta take a look myself. Me'ikra din is cholek, but I get the sense that he feels that maybe one should be machmir. Rabbi Shechter quotes another chumra. Rabbi Shechter quotes b'shem Rav Moshe Feinstein that, you know, even if you eat the cake at the end of the meal, Rav Moshe wanted to say that even if you eat the cake at the end of the meal, that could also be a problem. You don't eat it at the beginning of the meal. Let's say you have a whole meal, and then you eat cake at the end. You're not eating mezonos. It's a typical weekday meal. Most people don't wash when they have supper. They have, you know, a whole meal there, and then at the end they eat a piece of cake. What's it then? So the Chara, according to the Magen Avraham, even though you're not eating the cake as part of the meal, it's only at the end, according to the Magen Avraham, maybe you should say that you'll be mitzari for everything together. Moshe wants to say that you should have to wash and bench in that case. If you know l'chatchila that you're going to be eating that cake at the end of the meal, you should have to wash and bench. Others disagree. They say, no, we're not going to go so far. Here, you're eating the cake after the meal. It's not in the beginning of the meal, or it's not during the meal. If it's not during the meal, maybe you could be making. Most kiddushim, you're going to eat the mezonos at the beginning. So lechora, it's hard to be mekel. It's hard to be mekel. What's it then if a person started the meal not be kavanah to be kavei asuda? He ate pasuk b'kistin. He didn't have kavanah to be kavei asuda, and then he changes his mind. What's the din? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have in mind, if you're planning on eating a kavei asuda mikanu lahaba, you have to wash and bench. Well, what's the difference? You changed your mind, so from now on, you're going to eat the Kriya Suda, so you have to wash and bench. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're only going to have a Kriya Suda, b'tzira of what you've already eaten, so then you have to bench, but you don't make a Hamotzi. Because you only make a Hamotzi if you're going to have a Kriya Suda, but you're not having a Kriya Suda from what you're eating Mikana Lahaba, it's only b'tzira of what you ate before. It's tricky. If you're going to have a kfiya suda from now on in the meal, so then you got to wash and bench. Stop what you're doing, wash and bench. If you're only going to have a kfiya suda, if you take into account what you've eaten already, so then you have to bench at the end of the meal, because it turns out, l'mafreya, you did have a kfiya suda, but you don't make a hamotzi, because you're not going to have a kfiya suda on what you're eating from now on. Rafi.
What would be my idea what this day is? If a person is hasn't eaten since 9 o'clock, or hasn't eaten anything at all, and it's now 11:30, 12 o'clock, he's at a kitchen, a couple cookies and a plate of cholent. I'm sure he's not going to be hungry right now, because hasn't eaten anything.
So it's not a function of whether he feels satisfied, it's a function of how much he's eating. Is he really eating enough that at his typical Shabbos meal, that's practically all he would eat? Some people do. Some people will have, you know, two helpings of cholent. They have two helpings of cholent, plus kugel, and a piece of fish. I mean, how much more do they eat at their Shabbos meal? You know, if you have that plus pasta and a little fruit, that practically is the meal.
I would imagine the person that ate that amount is probably eating that same amount of suda.
You'd be surprised. There are some people who come home and really can't eat. They ate too much of the kiddush and they feel like, I really don't want to eat. I've heard people tell this story, you know, many times. I came home and, you know, I just couldn't. I couldn't eat anything. So they forced themselves. Forcing yourself to eat, afilagasa, is not a serious meal. I think every person has to judge for themselves. I think the best thing is to eat at the kiddush appropriately, as we've mentioned many times. Right? You eat like a mensch. You wish a mazel tov, and you go home and you eat a regular Shabbos meal with bread. I mean, that's the appropriate thing. You're really supposed to be kaveh suda on bread on Shabbos, not just on cake and cookies. Yes.
You have a small cracker, and then you have all the rest of the
kezayis. It's got to be a kezayis pasuk b'kistin. Yeah.
You have to bench in that case.
If you had a kezayis of pasuk b'kistin and then ate with everything, had a lot of food, that's what we're saying. It could very well be, according to the Magen Avraham, you'd have to wash and bench in that case. That's why it's kedai not to eat your fill. Eat a little bit less than your fill. It's not so difficult to do that. You know, you can have a number of pieces of cake. You have a cholent and kugel and whatever, but that's it. Don't over. It's normally the second helping of cholent that gets you into trouble. Be careful about that second helping of cholent. You don't have your second helping, it's probably okay. The Sharatzion, Mishnah Berurah, the Sharatzion just adds to this discussion of a person who initially was not planning on eating Kfiya Suda, then he did eat a Kfiya Suda. The Mishnah Berurah just adds in the Sharat Tzion that if you think about it for a moment, if the person didn't wash and make a hamotzi in the beginning, so the chora he wasn't planning on being koveya seuda. So he wasn't planning on eating what he wants to eat now, right? Again, Mishnah Berurah says that if you now plan on being koveya seuda, so then you have to make a hamotzi, you have to bench. But if you weren't planning on being koveya seuda, if you're not planning on being koveya seuda in what you're eating now, but the tziruf between what you ate before and what you're planning on eating now for the remainder of the seuda, well, together it's going to be a koveya seuda, so then you'll have to bench at the end. But how about bracha rishona? So at first glance, you'd say, what's the reason to make a bracha rishona? I made a mezuzah at the beginning of the meal. Zokta sharat zion, but you were nimlach, you changed your mind. You weren't planning on eating what you're eating now. So if Taka, that's true, that you aren't planning on eating these food items, then you have to make a bracha rishona. It would come out that if you eat more pasta b'kistin at the end of the meal, you ate pasta b'kistin in the beginning of the meal, but now you want to eat more. Now you're going to be koveya seuda. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes that you'd have to make another mezonos also. Not just that you'll bench at the end of everything. It's something to keep in mind. You got to be very careful. What would come out according to the Mishnah Berurah is, let's say a person initially plans on having only two slices of pizza. He follows the regular minute, right? That until more than two slices, he's only going to make a mezonos. Then he changes his mind. He wants to have another slice. What's the din? So one slice of pizza is not a kviya suda. Three slices, you know, two plus is a kviya suda. So he shouldn't have to wash on that slice, but according to the Mishnah Berurah, he should have to make a mezonos on that slice because he wasn't planning on eating that piece of pizza. Something to keep in mind. People think, you know, okay, so I'll bench at the end. If I have a kviya suda at the end, I'll bench. If you didn't have in mind to eat that item, then you might have to make a mezonos on that item because you didn't have in mind. So the mezonos that you said in the beginning doesn't cover that item. Okay. Yes?
In terms of Sudas Shabbos, so would this count as one of your Shabbos meals?
What, if you koveya suda on pasta of the kiss, then you wash your bench?
And you wash afterwards.
Right.
Or if you don't wash at all and you're just benching.
Right. Parshat Shabbos is yes. Yes. The Shaila, if you could be Yotzi Sudas Shabbos with Pasuk of the Kisnin, but we paskin that you can. They talk when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So one of the ways that one of the suggestions that they have is maybe to be yotze with Pasuk of the Kisnin and not with bread. Right? You could be yotze with, I don't know, Kashla Pesach, Gibrach's cake. So they talk about that. So Pashup Shad is that you can be yotze. B'chatchila, we would try to be yotze with Pas Domer, but you certainly. You certainly could be Yotzei. If you're not going to have the other two meals, you're too stuffed. If it's a short Shabbos, so maybe you can be Mekil and only have one more meal. Yes?
After two slices, why wouldn't you have to wash and bench? Wash and say Hamotzi on the third slice. Why do you say Mizonos?
Because if you only have to wash and bench, if you're going to be eating a Kfiya Suda after the washing, the third slice is not a Kfiya Suda. It's only a Kfiya Suda together with the first two slices. So I'm not going to wash because I'm not going to be eating Mikan. Mikanu lahaba, a kviya suda. But I have to bench because taking into account everything I've eaten, I have eaten a kviya suda. Okay? Okay, what's the halacha of mezonos bread? That's a very, very popular question. They created this concept called mezonos bread. What is mezonos bread? So, generally speaking, mezonos bread looks like bread, tastes like bread, smells like bread, and functions like bread, but for convenience, they added a lot more apple juice in the bread. So they want to say that mezonos bread is pasul b'kisnin, so you don't have to wash and bench on the mezonos bread. It's really for convenience. This is convenience bread, right? Mezonos bread just functions like bread. You can eat it just like bread, but you won't have to wash and bench for this mezonos bread. So many have pointed out that it's a very difficult kula for many reasons. Mezonos bread is a very difficult kula. First of all, they suggest that it's pasul b'kisnin because it's a sweetened dough. Is that really true? Is it pasul b'kisnin? Is it sweetened enough to be called sweetened dough according to the Rambam? It's a big question. The Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch says that when do we call something pasul b'kisnin that it's a sweetened dough? That's only if the meperos, if the fruit juices, if whatever you're adding, the honey, the shemen, the vash, the fruit juices, etc., if it's nikar be'isa, if it's taste, if you can taste the fruit juices. If it's not nikar, that's not significant. Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be able to taste it. The Ramah goes even further. The Ramah says, his lashon is you have to have harbe tavlin odvash kemine mesiga shekorin lekech. You have to have so much sweetener in there, so much honey, so much sugar in there, like the honey cake. Shekemat hadvash vehatavlin heim iker. The lashon of the Rama is it's so much that kemat the sweeteners are iker, meaning they're more iker than the flour. That's even more than the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you have to be able to taste the sweetener. The Rama says no, it's got to be so iker that it's even more than the flour. Okay, that's quite an extreme. So some don't go as far as the Rama, but they say that it's got to be more than the water. At least there has to be more meperos than mayim, because what's the fruit juice for? The fruit, you know, cake is made out of two main substances, made out of the flour and the water. So if your fruit juice is less than the water, then how can you consider that a sweetened dough? Right? The Shulchan says that you have to be able to taste the sweetened dough. To taste the sweetener in the dough. The Rama says it has to be so ikar that's mamish, the primary ingredient. Like in honey cake, it's like rubo, sugar, and honey. Even if you don't want to go so far, but at least to say that you have to be able to taste it, or maybe even that the mepero should be the ikar liquid in the cake. Right? The ikar liquid in the item. Not enough that there's a little bit of fruit juice in there, a little bit of eggs in there. It's got to be the ikar. It's got to be something significant. In cake, you have that, but in mezonos bread, mamish looks like regular bread, and you can barely taste the apple juice in the mezonos bread. So that's the first problem. Maybe it's not possible, because then even according to the Rambam. What's more, according to the Maimon Mordechai, it's not possible b'kisnin for sure. The Maimon Mordechai says we don't follow the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch. That's not halacha moshmi Sinai. It's a function of what's a snack food, what's a meal food. You're using the mezonos bread like bread. So if you're using it like bread, it's a meal food. It's not a snack food. It's not much functioning like bread. If you're going to call it possible b'kisnin simply because you added a little bit of sweetener in there, how can it be? Maybe according to the Rambam, you can pilfer back and forth. Is it possible to kiss according to the Rambam? But we don't define ourselves just based on the Rambam. We have to define ourselves b'chol makom b'chol zman and b'zman hazeh. What you're doing with the mezonos bread, you're simply turning bread. You're calling it mezonos bread, but you're using it like regular bread. So based on the Maimon Mordechai, that should be defined as pas gomer. So you should have to make a hamotzi even on a morsel of mezonos bread. What's more, even if we'll admit that mezonos bread is possible b'kisnin, absolutely, it's like the possible b'kisnin of the Rambam. We're not going to go with the Maimon Mordechai. I'm going to go with the Beis Yosef and the Rambam. Yeah. I'm going to assume that it's possible b'kisnin for sure. But just a second. What's the context that you're eating this mezonos bread in? You're not just eating mezonos bread. You're eating it with a meal. So according to the Magen Avraham, in the end, you'll have to wash and bench anyway, because you'll have a kviya suda between the mezonos bread and all the other items you're eating. According to the Magen Avraham, you'll have enough for a kviya suda. So even if you want to be meikel in the definition of pasul b'kisnin and say mezonos bread is pasul b'kisnin, but you're eating enough that you'll be kovei suda on all the food that you're eating, coupled with the mezonos bread. So what are you accomplishing? So it's a very shvera kula. I mean, people use this mezonos bread. They use it for airline food. The airlines like to serve mezonos bread together with the meal that they give you. They use it in kiddushin. The caterers like using kiddushin. It's a shvera, shvera kula. It's a very difficult kula. The only thing you could say is for those who want to be mekel and say that it's possible to kiss them, so maybe if you're on the plane, right, and they don't serve you that much, and they don't allow you to come, well, they allow you to come with food, they don't allow you to come with drinks on the planes now. If you don't have any food with you, so you're going to be hungry, so maybe the only kula that you can think of, you can be mako. Right? The third svara might not apply in certain contexts. Meaning, if you want to, you could eat the meal and eat the challah and eat the mezonos bread later. If you eat the meal now and eat the mezonos bread an hour later, so according to the third svara, there's no problem. According to the Magen Avraham, you're not kovei asuda on the meal, nor you kovei asuda on the pasul b'kisnin, so you can make a mezonos on the pasul b'kisnin. According to that third svara. It's a shvera kula anyway, because it's not clear that the mezonos bread should be possible b'kisnin. But pshuto, it's pas gomer. According to the Maimon Mordechai, it's pas gomer. And even according to the Beis Yosef, perhaps it should be pas gomer. Because it's not possible b'kisnin according to the Rambam. You can't really taste the apple juice in the mezonos bread. It's really better to avoid it. It's better, you're going to have the mezonos bread, so treat it like bread. And you should wash and bench for the mezonos bread. Okay. Just a couple more things. We said that you have to make a hamotzi on something that's defined as bread. If you have an item that's made with a dough, it's a blila ava plus afia, a dough which is baked, that's definitely defined as lechem. Right? That's definitely defined as lechem. Under what circumstances can something lose the shem lechem? Let's say it had the shem lechem, you make a hamotzi on it, but you processed it after the bread was actually baked. Now the question is, does it lose the shem lechem? Does it only get a mezonos, or would it get a hamotzi? Under what circumstances will bread lose the shem lechem and not get a hamotzi? So the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Samaches Sif Yud writes that if the pieces of bread are still a kezayis, in all circumstances it doesn't lose the shem lechem. As long as it's still a kezayis, it gets a hamotzi. Still a kezayis, it gets a hamotzi. But if the pieces are not a kezayis, they're less than a kezayis, so then they can lose the shem lechem in one of two ways. Again, if it's still a kezayis, the pieces are still a kezayis, there's no question it gets a hamotzi. It's still called bread. But if the pieces are less than a kezayis, so they've already lost their chashivas a little bit, so then they can lose the shem lechem in one of two ways. Either if the pieces are cooked, if you're mevashel the lechem, bishul al pidin is mafkia the shem lechem, but it's only mevatel the shem lechem if the piece is less than a kezayis. Again, the piece is a kezayis, it doesn't lose the shem lechem. If it's less than a kezayis, then first of all, if it's cooked, or secondly, if it lost the tzuras hapas, it lost the form of bread, even if it's not cooked, it doesn't get a hamotzi, it's not called bread. Okay, one of two ways. The first factor is it's got to be less than a kezayis, but then one of two ways it can lose the shem lechem, either if the bread is cooked or if it loses the tzuras hapas. So if it's cooked, even if it has a tzuras hapas, it doesn't matter. As long as it's cooked, even if it has a tzuras hapas, it loses the shem lechem. What does cooking mean? So we know. What does cooking mean? Cooking means it was put in a kli rishon, the yatzo lettuce bowl, right? A hot kli rishon that's on the fire, not in a kli sheni, not bread that's put into a soup bowl. Frying is a big shaila, right? What's the status of frying? So deep frying, we assume, is called bishul, b'kulei alma. But not deep frying, like most frying that we do in the kitchen, is not deep frying. So that's a big shaila. It's not so clear that it's bishul. It's a suffix. But if you cook the pieces, and they're less than a kezayis, then they'll lose the shem lechem. Even if they have a tzuras hapas. If they don't have a tzuras hapas, and they're less than a kezayis, so then even if you didn't cook it, even if you only soaked it in water and it loses the tzuras hapas, then it loses the shem lechem as well. Okay, these are the different options. Again, if it has a kezayis, it doesn't lose the shem lechem. It gets a hamotzi. If it's less than a kezayis, then either if it's cooked, even if it has a tzuras hapas, or if it loses the tzuras hapas, even if it's not cooked, then it doesn't get a hamotzi, it loses the shem lechem. What are examples of these different scenarios? So the post can talk about a few popular examples. Take, for instance, chalakugel. Chalakugel. Does anyone know what chalakugel is? It's made out of pieces of challah that they've soaked in water, and then somehow they mush it together, if you will, and they turn it into kugel. So these pieces have less than a kezayis. They're soaked in water. The pieces no longer have a tzuras hapas once the water gets finished with them, so that's why you make a mezonos on chalakugel. Yes? No, the piece that you've broken down. Piece that you've broken down. You're saying if the piece is less than a kezayis, but then you mush it together, now it's more than a kezayis. It becomes complicated. I think the pieces of the challah kugel, when you make the kugel out of the pieces of bread, the pieces themselves are less than a kezayis. And you then soak them. They lose the tzuras hapas once you soak them, so they get a mezonos. They get a mezonos. And then you make a kugel. The kugel doesn't look like bread. The kugel looks very different than the bread that you had before. It looks like kugel. Yes?
So, last week I was at someone's house, Shabbos, they said it's cinnamon buns, but made out of challah. She told me it was mezonos.
How was it made out of challah? What happened? They soaked the challah and then they made cinnamon buns out of it?
I don't know, but it's all the truth of challah, of bread.
If she hadn't told you that it was made out of challah, would you have thought that it was challah or cinnamon buns?
I would have thought it was challah with like cinnamon sugar. I think, yeah.
It's a big shiloh. What you're saying is it had a tzuras hapas as far as you were concerned. That's the whole question, what is called Tzuras HaPas. You know, is Cheerios a Tzuras HaPas because it looks like a bagel? it's hard to really define what Tzuras HaPas means. Like a loaf-like circular, you know, a circular thing. Yeah, a circular thing could have a Tzuras HaPas, absolutely. It could look like a pull-apart challah, but you know, a cinnamon bun is a cinnamon bun. Tastes like, you know, did it taste like a cinnamon bun? Okay, it's tricky. These kinds of things are very tricky. I mean, I would say that if it has a Tzuras HaPas to you, then you shouldn't eat it outside of a Suda, because it really is a Savik Bracha. Justin?
What would bread stuffing mean?
Bread stuffing? Yeah. I don't know what bread stuffing means.
You like make stuffing out of
it. Oh, stuffing into the chicken?
Yeah.
Or turkey. Yeah, so does that really look like bread to you?
I mean, it has like pretty bread.
It looks pretty. You make that a challah, they put vegetables in it and...
Right, but the question is, once you get finished with it, you add the vegetables, you add all the other substances, all the other ingredients, does it look like challah or not challah? I don't know.
When I like cut it, it looks like challah. From the top, it doesn't look like challah.
Uh-huh. It's tricky. I don't know. It's tricky. I'm not sure what to say. Maybe you should make your stuffing out of something else. You might make your stuffing out of rice or something. It's tricky. Not so simple. The poskim say that the way challah kugel is made, it's really soaked in water. The challah is soaked in water, and it loses the tzuras hapas. It loses its form. I don't know. You gotta invite me for a meal in the Wexler home, and I'll try to judge whether this the. I'm sure the challah stuffing is great. The question is, what kind of bracha do you make on it? Anyway, okay. French toast is another popular example. French toast normally is not really a shayla because the pieces of French toast are more than a kezayis. It doesn't really matter what you're doing to it. So in most circumstances, you make a hamotzi on a French toast, even though it's only fried. So you'd say it's not cooked. It doesn't really matter because if the pieces are kezayis, the pieces are more than kezayis, you definitely make a hamotzi. The reality is because French toast is normally fried, even if the pieces would be less than a kezayis. If they have a Tzuras HaPas, most French toast still looks like bread. It looks like bread with the egg on it. It probably would get a hamotzi anyway. But the reality is French toast normally does have kezayis. It is the size of kezayis, so it'll get hamotzi. How about matzah brei? Oh, we're almost there. Matzah brei. So for those who eat gebruchs, they have a shayla. For those who don't eat gebruchs, there's mamish no shayla at all. Okay, let's go tachlis. Matzah brei. Okay, so the pieces of matzah in the matzah brei are very small. Normally they're less than a kezayis. They're soaked in eggs and then they're fried in oil. So what do you think? So if they'd be cooked in something, if they'd be deep fried, then it wouldn't be a shayla, since the pieces are less than a kezayis. Even if they had a Tzuras HaPas, if they're deep fried, that's like bishul. So then it would not get a hamotzi. Problem is, but they're not deep fried. They're only fried in a little bit of oil. It's a real shayla. It's not at all clear what bracha to make on matzah brei. Right? Now, if the matzah is soaked in water or in oil until there's no Tzuras HaPas left, then definitely you'd only make a mezonos on it, even though it's only fried. Again, we're fiddling back between the different svaras. If there's no Tzuras HaPas, definitely get some mezonos. If there is a Tzuras HaPas, so then we have to look at the situation and say, you know, is it cooked, is it fried, etc. If there are pieces of matzah or bread that are more than a kezayis, so then it doesn't matter whether there's no Tzuras HaPas. I mean, by definition, it always has a Tzuras HaPas. It always is defined as pas if it's more than a kezayis. So matzah brei, normally the pieces are less than a kezayis, but they're only fried. So if they're only fried, l'chora, the appropriate thing would be to eat it as part of a suda. Eat it as part of the suda, because it's really hard to know if it should get a mezonos or it should get a hamotzi. There's some matzah brei that they make that you can see the matzah. The mamish can see it. You see pieces of matzah. I've seen that kind of matzah brei. So in that circumstance, it has a Tzuras HaPas. Has a Tzuras HaPas, even if the pieces are smaller than a kezayis, even if it's only fried, if the matzah is nikar, it has a Tzuras HaPas, it should get a hamotzi. The shaila is, if it doesn't really, you know, if it doesn't really look like matzah. If you have small pieces, it's been soaked in water, not so clear. So if it doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas, then it gets a mezonos. If it has a Tzuras HaPas, the Poshup Shad is, should get a hamotzi. Because it's only fried. It's best to eat matzah brei in a meal. But if you make something out of matzah meal, not like matzah brei, which is made out of pieces of matzah. Make something out of matzah meal, like a knedel or a matzah pancake. I think that's called a chremzel. Do they have chremzels by you, Andrew? I think they probably just have a matzah pancake.
Yeah.
Okay. They have, but they have knedels by you, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. So if you have matzah balls or matzah pancakes or matzah meal cake, right? Any one of these three items. So either they're cooked, like the knedel is cooked in a kli rishon, you put it into the soup cauldron. So the knedel is cooked, and even the other things that are not necessarily cooked, the matzah pancake is not cooked, the matzah cake is baked. It's not cooked, but the fact is that the pieces are smaller than a kezayis. They're mixed with other items. It doesn't look like the matzah. It looks like cake. Doesn't look like the matzah. So the fact that you're combining all of the different pieces smaller than a kezayis, most poskim would say that it doesn't bring back the tzuras hapas. The pashup shot is in the knedel, the matzah pancake, the matzah meal cake. In those situations, you'll make a mezonos, okay? Because the pieces are less than a kezayis. In some of those cases, you're actually cooking it, so the bishul will be mevatel l'shem lechem. In the cases where you're not cooking it, still loses the tzuras hapas because you're mixing it with other items. So therefore, it's only going to get a mezonos. Okay, so these are the different applications of this rule. Of what exactly can cause an item to lose its shame lechem. Yes, sir.
It has to be the same tzuras hapas, right? Like if you made the matzah meal into a roll, like you call it there.
But you make the matzah meal into the roll, but it's not matzah. You're saying it's...
Right, so it has to be the same tzuras hapas that it came from.
Right, because if not, then it's not the same lechem that it was. It had a shame lechem as matzah, but now it's a totally different tzura.
What about Pesach rolls?
A Pesach roll, What's a Pesach roll made out of? No, but the problem is, if it's made out of matzah meal, let's think about that. If it's made out of matzah meal, and then you add water to it and you bake it again, so that's like making bread again. It's like making matzah again. Right? Matzah meal cake is different. Matzah meal cake is mixed with so many ingredients that it's pasul b'kisna, right? It's not pas gomer anymore, right? It's pasul b'kisna. It's a dessert type meal, a dessert type food. So you make a mezonos on it, just like you make a mezonos on cake, right? Regular cake, not matzah meal cake. Regular cake is made out of flour. I also mezonos on that. So matzah meal cake is different. But if you make matzah balls, you call it? What do you call them?
Rolls.
Matzah rolls, right? Matzah rolls made out of matzah meal. So you're going to use the matzah roll like a regular roll, like mezonos bread, right? L'chora, that should get a hamotzi. That's not pasul b'kistan, that's pas gomer, because it's made out of flour and water. It's made out of flour and water. You're combining, the matzah meal is like flour. It's just crumpled up matzah. It's like basically like flour. And you're combining the flour. It's made out of chameshes min hadav, and you're combining it with water. It's a blila, whatever blila it is. There's afia. This it should be defined. I guess the matzah rolls actually have a blila oven. Are they a thick dough? It's like a thick dough that you put. I would imagine it gets a hamotzi. That's what I would say. Okay, just to conclude with one final issue about hamotzi, and that is shinui makom. I want to talk about shinui makom. This shaila comes up. Someone actually asked me this shaila at the beginning of the year, so I thought I'd talk about it. Shinui makom. If a person changes his place, his makom in the middle of the seuda, how does that affect bracha? So the Gemara Pesachim Adaf Kuf Aleph writes that if a person is mishana makomo, he changes the place where he's eating, he has to make another bracha. Question is, under what circumstances? There's a machlokas amaroyim, and a machlokas rishonim had a paskin. Machlokas Rishonim, does this apply to every food item? That if you're Meshana Makom, you have to make another Bracha Rishona? Well, maybe it should only apply to something that doesn't require a Bracha Achrona Bimkomo, like fruits or like liquids, drinks. Because you don't have to make a Bracha Achrona Bimkomo, you can go to a different place and make a Bracha Achrona. So therefore, if you leave your Makom, you've been Mevatel, you're Kviyas. So that's why you have to make another Bracha Rishona. Should I say that the rule of Shina Makom, that once I'm Mishana Makomo, Mishana Makomi, I have to make another bracha Rishona, does that apply to all items? That's what some Amaroyim hold, and some Rishona pass in that way? Or should I say, no, it applies only to those items that I could make a bracha Achrona somewhere else. So if I can make a bracha Achrona somewhere else, when I leave the place that I'm in, I have been mevatel my kviyas in this place. I've been mevatel my sense of permanence in this place, so that's why I should have to make another bracha Rishon in a different place. That's the machlokas Rishon. Machlokas Amaroyim, machlokas Rishon Amar Paskin. The Ramah in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches Paskins like the second Shita, that these two halachas are linked. The idea that a person who's Mishana Mokom has to make another bracha Rishona is linked to the rule that there are certain things that are Tolan Bracha Bimkomo and other things not. So what is not Tolan Bracha Bimkomo requires another bracha Rishona in the second Mokom, because he's broken his kvias. He can make the bracha Achrona in some other place. But something that's that requires a bracha Achrona Bimkomo, he hasn't broken his kvias. He's got to come back to make a bracha Achrona. If you haven't broken your kvias, so then he doesn't have to make another bracha. Right? Let's say a person is in the middle of a bread meal. He's made a hamotzi. He walks outside to talk to his friend. Does he have to make another hamotzi when he comes back in? No. Because according to the Ramah, since you have to bench Bimkomo, you have to come back to bench anyway, you haven't been mevatel your kvias. So if you haven't been mevatel your kvias, the bracha Rishona of Hamotzi that you made on the first bread will cover this bread as well. Okay? But the peiros, fruits, apples, right? An apple doesn't require a bracha Achrona Bimkomo. You can make a bracha Achrona somewhere else. You can continue eating the apple in the other place. Right? So if you can make let's say you ate the apple here and you went somewhere else and you remember that you didn't make a bracha achrona. There's no need to go back. So since there's no need to go back, if you want to continue eating the apple outside of the house, you have to make another bracha rishona. Well, let's say you start coffee in the house and then you're running to the shir and you take it into the car. This happens left and right. There's someone from my community who asked me this shaila at the beginning of the year. You know, what do I think about this? He was drinking a coffee in his home, and then he had to come to the shir. He didn't want to be late for daf yomi. Does he have to make another bracha? So we pulled back and forth. We talked about it. The answer is yes. You have to make another bracha because since you can make a bracha achrona on the coffee b'di'eved even shlobim komo. Let's say you drank the full coffee and you forgot to make a bracha achrona. Then you find yourself in a different place. You don't have to go back. You can make the bracha achrona right there. So when you leave the house, you've broken your kvias. So if you go into the car, you'll have to make another shakal. So the best thing is, if you plan on going in the car, don't sip it at home. Don't make the shakal in the house. Take it outside, make the shakal outside. Because if you make the shakal in the house, not so clear that you're not going to have to make a shakal in the car. Some might say that if your kavana was to take it into the car, so that's covered by the original shakal. Yeah. Actually, that's covered by the original shakal. But certainly, if you didn't have kavana to cover it, you didn't have kavana to leave the house, and then you race out, so then you'll have to make another shakal. If you're on hatsala and you started a coffee and you take the coffee into the ambulance, you have to make another shakal in the ambulance. Okay, so it's important to put these two halachas together according to the Rambam. So everyone would say that for an apple, for some kind of shakal, for a drink. If you mishana makom, if you go outside to talk to a friend, then you come back inside, you got to make another shahakal. People don't know this. They're in the middle of a meal. They haven't made, they haven't washed. They've drunk a little bit. They walk outside to talk. So it could be that they don't have to make another mizonos. Mizonos is a shaila because there's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches Sif Hey, which items require a bracha achrona bimkomo? Definitely bread. But it's not so clear. What else? Chameshes Niyadogon, Shiva Saminim. It's not clear. There are different shitas. So maybe for the mezonos, you'll be mekel not to make another mezonos. But for the drink, you have to make another shakel because it doesn't require a bracha achrona bimkomo. So therefore, once you've left, you've been mevatel your kriyas, that's why you have to make another bracha. There's one exception. The Ramah writes that if you left some people at the meal, even if it's not a bread meal, hiniach miktas chaverim, then there's no need to make another bracha. It's not called a shini makom. Even for peiros and drinking. But that's only if you're having a meal. If everyone's sort of eating, you know, they're eating freestyle, if it's not a meal that you're sitting out together, that's not called hiniach miktas chaverim. But if you left people at a meal, even if it's not a meal of bread, then that's enough to maintain the kviyas that you have. So then you would not make another bracha if you walk outside for just a moment. Lechatchila, are you allowed to be mishanah makom? Not so clear. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir. Shulchan Aruch said one should not be mishanah makom. Even if you don't plan on eating anymore, we're afraid you're not going to come back to make the bracha. The Ramah is makely, says, if daitel metchila lakach, if originally you were planning on going from house to house, then it's okay. Then it's okay. So, you know, shinui makom should be taken seriously. People run out of their homes, they jump out and they move back and forth. It's not so simple. You should really, you make a bracha in one place, you should finish the meal in that place. That's it. You shouldn't run out for davening and for this and that. I know there are certain circumstances you feel that you're going to miss mincha. So you run out for mincha, you're going to come back and you leave someone there. Okay. One final point. Let's say b'di'eved, let's say we're talking about a bread meal. A bread meal is a situation where it's ta'an bracha b'mkamo. Right? It requires a bracha achrona, you have to bench where you ate the bread. What happens if b'di'eved you left? It's hard to get back. You forgot the bench. And then you're driving. And you're 10 miles from the original place. You really have to go back. So it's actually Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in the Mishnah in Brachas in the 8th parak. Machlokes Rishonim had a paskin. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Machlokes Rishonim in Simen Kuf Pei Dalid, Sif Aleph. Quotes Machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh about this. Shochach! Let's say you left. Beshogeg, you made a mistake, you forgot the bench. What should you do? Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. The Mishnah Berurah says it's appropriate to be noheg like those who are machmir, to go back and bench bimkomo. B'shar sadchak, he says, one can be megal for the Rambam. B'di'eved, b'shar sadchak, it's an extenuating circumstance. B'di'eved, you can go back. If you're really in a bind, b'di'eved, you can make the Birchas HaMazon right where you are. You don't have to go back. L'chadchila, he says, you should be machmir for the Rosh. B'shar sadchak, b'di'eved, what can be megal for the Rambam to bench where they are. Someone asked me this shaila a number of months ago. They forgot to bench. They were in their apartment. They were eating a meal. They forgot to bench, and they came. They came for shir. It wasn't time for shir yet. He wasn't going to miss shir. It was 5 minutes before shir, so I told him he should run back and try to bench in his apartment. So someone heard me passing this way. Someone in the hallway heard me passing this way. He said, but, you know, did he ever, you know, he forgot. What can he... I said, but he's not going to lose anything. It's a 5-minute walk. It's not so difficult for him to walk back. If he would have walked into the shir late, let's say, right? Avera goreres avera. If he would have walked into the shir late and he like asked me on the side, you know, I forgot to bench. What should I do? I would tell him, sit down in your seat, bench right here. Because then there's the problem that if he walks back, he's gonna lose out. He's gonna lose a lot. So that's the psak halacha. L'chadchila, it's best to bench b'mkomo, but if shachach, and if he forgot, he didn't bench b'mkomo, so b'di'eved, in an extenuating circumstance, he can be mekel and bench where he is.